Let's turn our Bible to Revelation chapter 2. Can we turn our Bible to Revelation chapter 2? Now, if you didn't bring your Bible, your phone is your Bible, your iPad, iPhone, whatever devices that you have, you turn to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read from 18 to 29. Let those who have ear hear and listen to the word of God, that our spiritual ears are open. And we are doing the series 7. This is the open letter of Jesus to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And today we are at Thyatira. We are at the church in Thyatira. Revelation 2, 18 to 29. Now we found that in Thyatira, the word pseudo-prophetes, that's a Greek word, it's not a misspelled, right? That's where we go, we get like pseudo-signs, pseudo-prophets, but the false teacher is pseudo-prophetes. And we want to talk about false teachers and how Christ warned the church in Thyatira about false teaching that has crept into the church. So, we have done Ephesus. God has said, you have abandoned your first love and your first work. So I'm not happy. I'm not happy with that. And then he talked to Smyrna about their faithfulness, pistos, you know, Pergamum on being a compromising church to be a holy church. So we talk on like suffering. We talk on holiness. And today we want to talk about discerning and holding on fast to the word of God. You know, holiness, suffering, all these things are not popular topics in the church. But in order to be the true church of Christ, we have to listen hard to what God tells us. I think this is very important. Around 4:30 a.m., I got up this morning and I was praying. And this is what I prayed. Lord Jesus, please help me understand more how a church should be, what you want your church to be, and give Santa Clara First Baptist just patience, courage, and boldness, even though they may not be popular in the eyes of the world, to stand true to what you have prescribed for us. I was praying very hard this morning, and as I was praying, Lord, I'm weak, you know, I can't measure up to your standard, but I want the church that I worship to be a church that you're pleased with. And that's where we are. I see that the people being saved at our church, conversion happening at our church, people joining the church, baptism happening. I think these are part of us desiring to be a church like Christ. And God is sending children and families to our church. This is because we are desiring to be a church of Christ. We have to hold on to this. We have to hold on to this. And it's very important today, the message that I want to share, why this is important. So be with me for the next 40 minutes and see what the Lord is going to have prepared for us. These 40 minutes may change the city, may change the country, may change the world. And I'm not blowing this up. It says in Revelation 2, 6, 18, it says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, the Greek, they read Thotira. Thyatira is American, right? It's hard for me. This thing says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. So, to the church in Thyatira. Where is Thyatira? Right? Thyatira is near Pergamum, Sardis, that area. And there is no emperor worship in Thyatira. The god Apollos was worshipped there. But there were temples. There were temples set up. Some Bethe is one temple, and there was a prophetess in that temple who has kind of seduced people that come and worship there. And probably this is a reference. Zezebel is a reference to that prophetess that has seduced other people on idolatry and sexual immorality. Okay? Idolatry and sexual immorality. I went back to look, okay, what happens in Thyatira? How did the Lord come to this city? And it is just amazing how God programmed or planned to reach the gospel in this city. If you go back to Acts 16, you remember the time when Paul wanted to go to Asia. Paul and Silas wanted to go to Asia, and they have planned to go to Asia, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit came in a vision and forbid. And Paul and Silas was forbidden to go to Asia. And there was a man from Macedonia in that vision that called Paul to come to Macedonia. You remember that story in Acts chapter 16? And Paul came out of the vision and said to Silas, I think they want us to come and share the gospel there. So Paul went to Macedonia. And on his journey to Macedonia, what happens? They come to Thyatira. In Thyatira, who did they meet? Lydia. Lydia, the seller of the purple lady. She was a wealthy woman. She had a great place in the city because she belongs to a guild. In Thyatira, there are guilds for every artisan, whether it is dyer, color, arts, music. There is a guild, and the guild are very strong. And this guild are pagan guild. And a lot of things that are done in the guild are godless. It does not please the Lord. Right? So the guild are very powerful and strong in Thyatira. So she has a place there. Lydia has a place there. She is well known. She is wealthy. And Paul came there. And the word of God says in Acts 16 that she believed in God. It meant that she had had contact with Jewish teaching before. We don't know what kind of faith it had, but she had that faith already. But when Paul came into the city and he started teaching the gospel and the ways of Jesus Christ, the word of God says in Acts 16 that she paid attention to it and she listened to it and her heart was open to Paul's teaching. Right? Now what happens is that when the word of God was taught, she believed it, she received it, and she told Paul, Paul, please stay in Thyatira. Because she sells the dye purple in Philippi. See? So there is her business is wide. It's not just in one city. And Paul stayed, and what happened next is her household was baptized. Right? Her household was baptized. There were great other things that was happening there in Thyatira. Now what happened? So they were going. Paul was teaching there. He stayed there. And as they were going and teaching and praying, what happened? There was a slave girl. There was a slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, right? Why is this important? Because she is a fortune teller. And the master makes a lot of money from this slave girl. For many days now, she followed Paul and said, oh, servant, these are the servant of the Most High God, and he proclaims the way of salvation. The first day, maybe Paul's like, okay, you know. Second day, servant of the Most High God, he proclaims the way of salvation. Third day, for many days, she followed him everywhere and kept saying that. So what happened to Paul? He got annoyed. He got annoyed with her and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I demand you to leave from her. And the spirit left. Don't you think people will be excited? Possessed girls being freed from demonic possession? No, they were not happy. What happened? The owner of this slave girl went to the magistrate, and he said to the magistrate, "Magistrate, these Jewish people are causing problem in our city. How? They are teaching ways that are different than our ways." Right? So, what? They were thrown into prison. So Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. This was long before Elvis' jailhouse break, okay? Because they started singing in the prison. Right? I don't know how good the song was, but like our worship minister has said, they have the heart of worship. They started singing. Next thing, boom! There was a jailhouse break. Gates were open. It's like the angels coming and kicking the door down, right? We don't know what happened. Everybody, there was commotion. Especially the guard. He was very afraid. Because a Roman guard, when a prisoner escapes, they will kill you. They will take your life. But Paul said to him, hey, we are here. We have an escape. The next thing that happened is amazing. The guard came, believed in the teaching of Paul and Silas, and he and his household was baptized. See? Great things have happened in Thyatira. But even greater than that, God called Paul and Silas. Hear this, it's coming. His plan was to go to Asia, but he came to Thyatira and met a wealthy lady, high position in the city. She gave her life to Christ and her whole household. This was the opening of the gospel to the whole Europe. Do you see this? She was the bridge and the door of the gospel to the whole of Europe. One person can change a continent. This morning I stand here with great faith and belief that if we stay true to Christ and His calling, our church can change this city. Not only this city, God will open doors where our church can impact a change in the lives of many people even outside this country. I believe that. But it will take one person like Lydia. Some of you sitting here have great wealth. Some of you sitting here have great wealth. You have great position in the council, in the union, in your company. It might just be you that God is calling to impact a group of people, a city, a nation. You see this? It just takes one person. God's maybe using your position, your status, your skill, your talents, your connection to change a person. You have come from different countries. You know, we have members from China. We have members from India, Ukraine, Latin America. God might have just brought you here so it can change Africa. It can change Asia. It can change India. It can change China and Latin America. Have you thought about that? Our God is not too small. Our God is big. When He calls somebody, when He calls a person, He calls with His intention to fulfill and accomplish what He has planned. And it could be you and me. It could be you and me. He gives you wealth for a reason. He gives you a position in the city, in the nation, for a position that the door might be open in some places. And God's telling the church to hold fast to His teaching. To Santa Clara, to First Baptist Church, to hold fast to His teaching. If we can see the gospel explosion and the power of God going through. This is powerful stuff. These are powerful stuff. This is not just a letter. This is truth that has written eternity for some people, for a lot of people. So you're not coming here to waste your time for 1 hour, 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. You're here that you can hear what God's calling you and change somebody's life. People that are crying out for help. Christ watches over good and evil. Christ is the head of the church, and everything is under his feet. He said, I have the flaming eyes of fire. He can see through what we are doing. He can see your work. He can know your work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, every work will be tested through fire. The fire that is, the things that are burned will not stand. When God looks at us, at our heart, at our intention, he can see through our hearts and our motives. And we pray that when he looks at us with his flaming, the eyes of flaming fire, that our work, our motive can stand the test of that fire. Are you with me? I'm not trying to scare you, right? But I'm trying to tell what a church should be. That our motive should be clear. I know I'm a sinner. I stand before the Lord and say, oh God, I'm weak. I'm fallen. You know, I can't live up to your standard. But my desire is clear. I want the name of the Lord to be praised. I want Jesus to be the God, the head of this church. I want the name of Jesus to be lifted up every Sunday morning when we come together. That is clear. I know your works, love and your faith, service, faith and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. He puts in order the works. He defines the work. What? First come first? Love. Johannine style. Right? Love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Love is the greatest. Then he puts service after love. One of the things that we say here, we're here to serve. We want to be great at serving the poor and the needy. And the next one comes faith. See, love, service, faith, and patience. He listed more than Ephesus. The grace of the church listed here is more than Ephesus. Added more value. The church in Thyatira has more value and grace of God. And he even said that your last is more than the first. That's not true for many churches, especially with First Baptist churches. Most of the First Baptist churches bask and live in their past glory. Oh, we used to have 100 people in our choir. You know, our men's fellowship was as strong as 200 people. Our women's fellowship was 200 people. Thousands of people come and worship here. We bask in the past glory, right? Not this church, Thyatira. Oh, now is better than it was before. See? You're doing great. You're growing. Your church is growing. I know that. Was God impressed? See, Christ sees and knows your works. Christ named the works of the church. Christ commended the church for its growth. Growth. Oh, we have had 20 baptisms. 31 people joined the church. You know, we have conversion, 20 conversion. Our Bethlehem, our outreach program, our worship in the park, you know, our Halloween community work that we do, thousands of people we affected. Oh, yes, I know, I know. I know your works. I know your works. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to the idols. Go back to Acts chapter 15. This is the first council that the leaders of the church called. There were two things that they decided in that council, is that we will not eat food sacrificed to the idols and not involve in sexual immorality. Tell all the church not to do this. And these women come in. Okay, let's talk about Jezebel. Well, who is Jezebel? Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. She was the queen, the first queen that directly opposed God worship. And she tried to kill the prophets of God. Right? And how did she seduce? Because it's very subtle. You know, when you read in 1 Kings chapter 16, there's an introduction of Ahab, Jezebel, and Elijah, the Tishbite. Now, it's very interesting how she plays with King Ahab. Let me tell you one story. When you go to 1 Kings chapter 21, and you will read that Ahab went to this guy in Samaria. His name is Naboth. The Jezreelite, right? Jezreelite. He went to Naboth because near the palace of Ahab, Naboth owned a piece of land. And Ahab went to Naboth and said, Naboth, can you give me the land? Because I want to have a vegetable garden. And it's near my palace. It will be very convenient. Give me this land. And Naboth said, no, king, I can't give you because this land belongs to my family and I can't sell this land to you. So Ahab went to the palace, and you know what happened to that king? He was sad, and he couldn't eat. Read. I'm not making this up. 1 Kings 21. He was so sad that he couldn't eat. And so the wife came, Jezebel came and said, oh, my king, my lord, great king, what happened to you? Why are you so sad? Why won't you eat? Please get up and eat. And say, I went to Naboth. I wanted that piece of land for my vegetable garden, you know. And he wouldn't give it to me. That's why I'm sad. He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Now get up. Let's eat. Be a king. Act like a king. What did Jezebel do? She organized a fasting program. Fasting and praying. Right? Very spiritual. She called the whole nation. We're going to fast and pray. Isn't that good? Oh yeah, it's good. I like fasting and praying too. But then she added something. Okay, but when every people come to fast, Naboth is going to be the centerpiece of display. He will be seated above everybody. Well, good. That's also good. Then, but find two men that will come and accuse on that fasting day that Naboth said bad things to the king and to God. Right? Blasphemed the king and to God. So fasting, prayer, Naboth's up there. They're fasting and praying, and two men stood up and said, this guy is against the king and against God. What happened? They dragged him out of the city and stoned Naboth to death. See? How she seduced the leaders? Taking the spiritual form, false accusation, to get a piece of land for the king. Did God let it slide? No, he didn't. He did not. Elijah came and he said, what have you done? What have you done? And for this thing, two things are going to happen. Your sons are going to be taken away from you. Right? And Naboth was stoned to death, and dogs were licking his blood out there, outside the city. And Elijah said to Jezebel, when you die, the dog will eat you the same way that the dog is licking Naboth now. Two. Your kingdom will be gone to Ahab. Your kingdom will be destroyed because he did that. This is the warning of Jezebel that Christ reminded us of this story. How leaders can be easily seduced. That there can be like strong women in the church that can seduce the leaders to do the ways of God, seemingly the ways of God, for their own motives and gain. Now, this is not new in the church. This is not a bad rap against women or men, but there are men and women like that. Right? Oh, the matriarch of the church. We can't do anything against her. Right? You have proxy pastors, proxy leaders, but it's the matriarch that rules the church. We can't upset her. If you upset her, oh, we're going to be... So, we do whatever they want to do. People who have deep pocket in the church, they hold on tight to their pocket because they don't like what's going on and pastor's not doing whatever they want to do, so they hold on to their pockets until the pastor relents to do the things they want, and then they release their pockets. Well, these things are not new. And let me tell you, I trust in the deep pocket of God. I want to make this clear. Santa Clara First Baptist Church, my God owns the 1,000 cattle in the hill. I trust in his deep pocket that doesn't have a hole, that doesn't run out. I want to state this clear. We're not going to be popular to walk the narrow path. It's hard. It's tough. But that's the way God wants us to work. Do not turn to the right and to the left. That's where our church should be. That we should not be easily seduced. Leaders, staff, board. We should not be seduced by the prophetess in the church. That we fall into the scheme of the prophetess and wander away from what Christ wants us to do. Christ sees and knows false prophets. See, Christ calls for repentance. Christ will give us each according to their works or to our works. So when you read in 1 Kings 16 and then 18 and 19, now she's threatening to kill Elijah. Right? And Elijah, this great prophet, because she has 435 prophets of Baal that serves her and another 400 prophets in the groves. So that's like 835 prophets that she controls. So there is a great contest at Mount Carmel, right? And they're building both altars, sacrifice ready. And the prophets of Baal, the follower of Jezebel, they're going around beating themselves. And Elijah is saying, oh, maybe your God has gone on a journey. Shout out loud. Maybe he's sleeping. He can't hear you, right? He's mocking them, beating themselves. No fire, no sacrifice was burned. Then Elijah went and prayed. And God released his blessing, his presence, and the fire consumed the sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal were killed right there. What happened? Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah. The man who called down fire from heaven and killed the prophets of Baal, what did he do? Do you think he stood up against Jezebel? No, he fled. He fled and he said, God, Jezebel wants to kill me. And where was he? He was in a man cave. He hid in the cave. He wouldn't get out of his man cave. He was so scared. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him he overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to it. I will give him white stones, stones of... No, this is from last week, right? Not this one. He said here, Christ, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And then she said, indeed, I will cast her into the sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. This goes back to Ezekiel 23. When God told Israelite that I warned you, if you disobey me, you'll die by sword. You'll die by sickness. Pestilence is what they talked about. And this picture comes back about sickness. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to his work. You go to 1 Kings chapter 21 when Elijah said that your offspring will be killed. Do you know how many sons Ahab has? 70 sons. 70 sons were reared by all the elders in the city. So in 2 Kings chapter 9, when Elijah has been taken on the chariots of fire to heaven, and he gave his mantle to Elisha, and then Elisha came and anointed whom? Jehu. Then Jehu called the elders in Samaria, in Israel, to come there. And they responded. And how did they come? They killed the 70 sons of Ahab, and they came to be with Jehu. So when Jehu, 2 Kings chapter 9, when he rode into the city, who was there up there by the window? It was Jezebel. So he called out to Jezebel. Next thing, what happened? Jezebel has been pushed out the window. She fell on the street, and the dog came and ate her, just as Elijah had prophesied. This is the picture that Christ was talking about. He may not do the same thing to us, but he's giving us a warning to repent of our sins. That things like this, the end result of disobeying the Lord, is not good. That's what he's trying to say. And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give the power over the nation. He shall rule them with the rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels. And also I have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the Lord. If we hold fast and stay true, God is going to give us the morning star. Who is the morning star? Jesus Christ. God will give Christ himself to us. Okay. Christ instructed the church to hold fast to his truth. Christ will share his power. Christ will be the one with the victors. What should we get out of the letter from Thyatira? Okay. One, there might be somebody like Lydia sitting here right now in this church. The Lydia who was the bridge and the door for the gospel in Europe, the whole of Europe. There may be somebody here in our church that can be like Lydia, that can open the door of hope, of compassion, and love above all to a people group, to a city, to a nation. Would you be willing to partner with God to be like Lydia? Right. That's one thing. The second thing is, I believe that our church, we are not big church, we're smaller than the other church, but I believe our church can change a city, a nation, and the world. I believe that. I believe that. And that should be our vision. That is why we have Vision 2020, planting a Spanish-speaking congregation. And they have started to meet now, regularly on Wednesday. When God increases and souls are added to this Spanish group, maybe up to 30, 40, they will have a church. We are in conversation with two more groups to start another church of another language, non-English speaking, and one with English speaking. We are praying that God will use us to impact the city and where we are. I believe in this. But we cannot be seduced by the prophetess. We cannot allow sexual immorality and idolatry to come into our church. And you say, but I don't worship the idol. It could be your job. It could be your money. It could be your bank savings. It could be your looks. Young people, we cannot have idols. And stay away from sexual immorality. This is about spiritual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God says, Paul seeks the things of the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, right? Deep things and desire the things of God. We have to do that. So we have to do it together. So Santa Clara First Baptist Church, do you believe that God's calling you? People with wealth and means and way and position and connection, maybe you're the one. You're the one. You're the hope of some people. Let us believe together. Let us believe together. May the Spirit rise as the worship team gets ready. May the Spirit within us rise so we can worship and give glory to the Lord. Can we just